here's the way to make sure you don't live in fear. The best way to develop a fearless lifestyle is to be faithful. If I want to be fearless, I have to be faithful. I have to be full of faith so I have no room left for fear.
For every ounce of fear, you lose an ounce of faith. Hello and welcome to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. God not only wants you to live fearlessly and faithfully, He's made it possible. Coming up next, Pastor Paul shows you what that kind of faith looks like as he shares some of his own experiences from his life in ministry. To hear any recent Destined for Victory message on demand, including today's, visit PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. Now, here is Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, God Will Provide.
One morning, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me as clearly as I've ever heard Him speak to me. I was laying in the bed, and I was awake, but looking up and listening to the Lord. My wife woke up, looked over and saw me, and she said, "What in the world is on your mind?" And I said, "Oh, the Lord's speaking to me." She said, "About what?" And I told her what was happening, that He was telling me that what He had shown me at the mega church in Florida and the self-consciousness I had at the Crystal Cathedral were Him telling me, when you build that worship center, I want you to build boxes just like you saw in Florida. Teach the people how to give according to the Word of God, and then let them give in the boxes. And I asked the Lord, laying there, "Do you know how much money we gonna need when we get to the new worship center?" At that moment, that morning, our church's budget at the time, it was a large growing church, required $75,000 a week. That's what we needed at the time. When we moved to the new worship center, we had already calculated with the overhead and all of that, we were going to need $100,000 a week to make budget. And so I laid there, asked the Lord, did He understand that? Was He aware of the budgetary needs? See, I'm real with my walk with God. There's no future in fronting. I said, "God, $100,000, and now you telling me build boxes and hope they put $100,000 in them?" And I wanted to say, "Are you crazy?" But I knew it was the word of the Lord. Just like this widow, the Lord had already whispered to her, "You're going to have to feed somebody." So it is very believable that this widow could have been out there gathering sticks to my, "He tripping, the Lord tripping," talking about, because I know what that's like, because that's where I was. And I remember when I got back to the church that next Sunday, after laying there that morning hearing from the Lord, I called that church in Florida. I said, "Would y'all do me a favor? One of y'all take a picture of one of your tithe and offering boxes and send it to me." I gave my email address, so they sent me a digital copy. So the next Sunday, in all four of the services in our little building, I put up that picture. I explained to them in all four services what happened, and this is way God told me to build these. So the worship center we're building right now, when we get in there in August of 2004, you will see these boxes. From that day forward, we will never again pass the basket. You will give or not give through that means. When I said that in all four services, people broke out in applause. And the devil said, "You know why they clapping, don't you?" They clapping because when they get over there, if you think they giving you $100,000 a week, you got another thought coming. But my wife had already said earlier when we were laying there that morning, she said, "The Lord is going to provide." And I said, "I hope you are a prophetess. I sure hope that's God speaking to you and you just not trying to build me up." It was God speaking to her. Do you know from the moment we walked in that building in August of 2004, first of all, attendance jumped 700 people a week. Because we had a bigger building. When it was growing in the little building, it was four services with overflow. And two of the services, we were locking people out. Here's some locked out folks. Y'all were in there in time, but y'all saw the outside folk. They would start forming the line for the next service. That's why we had to build the big thing. And so suddenly 700 people a week more are coming to church. And so I explained when we got in there, here's how we give. I'm still going to teach on tithing and offering because I want y'all to be blessed. I can't bless you if I don't tell you about money. See, a lot of folks say they always talk about money. Well, if I don't talk about money, you won't know what to do with your money. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. If God gives us the money and he's the source, he's the one to tell you what to do with it. If you think you know it's my money, well, you just cursed yourself. Because if it's yours, it's not God's. And if it's not God's, he won't bless it. So suddenly the offerings jumped up. We never had a single close call in the 5 years I pastored that church in that building. Never a financial close call. Always had what we needed and then some. And the budget that started out in that building needing $100,000 a week. Before I left that pastorate, we needed almost $250,000 a week. And God supplied it. Without the basket coming. And I realized then that I was used to thinking I had something to do with it. Because when the Lord wouldn't let me see it because there's no more baskets, I said, I don't know whether they're giving or not. And he said, seek ye first the kingdom and my righteousness. I didn't ask you to be the offering observer. And ask you to look at the phone. They ain't getting nothing today. That wasn't my place. So he just took me out of it altogether. And this lady heard from the Spirit. And she could have been protesting. We don't know. But it's very likely she could have been protesting in her heart when Elijah shows up and asks for water. As she's going to get that, he said, oh, and would you bring me some bread while you're going? That's when she said, now look at it. It's a test. Y'all got to stop failing and flunking your tests. Because if you flunk your test, God's not like some of these schools. He's not going to give you the degree anyway. Do you know we got people in certain segments of the country, they graduate in high school and can't read? Amen. What in the world? God won't do it. He'll give you the makeup. And so look at this lady. She explained to him that she and her son about to eat this last and they're going to go. They're going to die after that. First of all, I want to point out what she said. When he asked for her to bring a morsel of bread, she said, as the Lord your God lives, verse 12. She passed the test because you know some of y'all would not have, as the Lord your God lives, you'd be like, wait, hold on. Just stop pretending. Some of y'all be like, wait, what? You see me? She didn't have any internal negativity going on. All she's doing is saying, God is my witness. All I have is a little flour and a little oil. I'm gathering these sticks so I can prepare that, make that into whole cakes or bread, and then my son and I are going to eat that and die. So when she said, I don't have any bread, she was truthful. She hadn't prepared it yet. Some of us have got to learn, watch your internal dialogue. Watch your internal dialogue. Because your internal dialogue speaks of where you really are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he or she. It's what's going on the inside. See, you can look ever so faithful and holy on the outside, but God is examining your heart. She didn't have any internal negativity. She didn't say, I don't believe this big old robust preacher come up here wanting me to give him something. Ain't even worried about me. I'm a widow for God's sake. See, you could have had all that going on, but that's not the language of faith. She said, as the Lord lives, here's the deal. I'm gonna eat this and die. So she didn't cancel it out. And look at what he says in response to that. Do not fear. And then he says to her, do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first. Wait, huh? Y'all know if a preacher busts up on you, tell me, don't worry about your son. Hook me up. Oh, I shudder to think. I shudder to think what they would say to me if I ran up on somebody talking about the Lord said, your son gonna be all right. Take care of me. Look at what happens after he says this. Then he tells her the why. He says, make it for me first. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. There's another opportunity. Y'all feeling that, isn't it? Make it and then bring. I'm going to be standing right here. Bring me my cake. If I'm inclined to make it for you, you better know. You better be outside my door waiting to see if I hand you something. Tell me, come back out. Go back over to the city gate where you standing. And feed you like I'm some waiter. Gotta watch your internal dialogue, cause the Lord is listening. This isn't about Elijah. It's not about the church. It's not about the radio ministry. It's not about any of that. This is the Lord speaking. When you're dealing with his kingdom, it's all about him. I'm believing for millions. I got a big vision. I want to see God do things in a spectacular way, but it's going to come from some person who hears God tell them what to do, and they're going to have to respond and do it. It's not up to me whether they do it. They're going to have to hear God for themselves. A broadcaster friend of mine, I'm preaching at his mega church once, and afterwards we're having a meal, and he telling me about a listener who just gave $1 million. And it really wasn't a listener, just somebody who knew of his ministry and knew that he did a lot of media ministry and their church served a lot of people in their city and all that. And so here was a man, as it turns out, was a multimillionaire who needed to unload a lot of money just to keep in the right tax bracket. And a lot of folks have to give. That's how much money they have. They have to give to lighten their tax burden. And his phone rang and a man called and he said, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a person of faith, but I know of your ministry. I know the kinds of things you do and I need to give. So I've decided to give you $1 million. And the man told him, when you receive the check this week, do not call me. I don't want an acknowledgement. I just want you to receive it, use it for what you all are doing. Do not call me. And so the pastor said, sure enough, few days later, here comes this money, $1 million. We put it in. It went in. Because how many of y'all know just because the checks say $1 million, it actually went through. He has a lot of big donors. So he's used to picking up his phone and calling his big donors and thanking them. He picked up the phone without thinking, called the man. Man said, didn't I tell you? Do not call me. Hung up the phone. And so when the pastor telling me, I said, well, see, he told you you couldn't call him. He didn't say nothing about me. said, so why don't you hook me up with his number? We both laughed. Fact of the matter is, God can bless you through any resource he chooses. Here was an unbeliever blessing a ministry. And so he said, don't fear. Don't let your head get involved here. Your head will make you miss your blessing. Because conventional wisdom is not the wisdom of God. In the kingdom, we receive by giving. In the kingdom, God blesses us as we unload. And so he said, don't fear. Do this, but give it to me first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For the Lord says the bin of flour will not be used up. The jar of oil won't run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Do you see what God said to her? I'm testing your obedience. Here's the way to make sure you don't live in fear. The best way to develop a fearless lifestyle is to be faithful. If I want to be fearless, I have to be faithful. I have to be full of faith so I have no room left for fear. Did y'all get that? The best way to be fearless is to be faithful. You're going to have less fear the more faith you have. The more I walk by faith, the less I have to fear. Because God is taking care of me because I put my life in his hands. I'm doing what Matthew 6:33 says. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek first. Here's what I think I need to do. That's a formula for disaster. The first thing is seek the kingdom. When you have next to nothing, give. That's what we're being told here. Not hoard. See, what you have in your hand, you think it is bread, it's seed. When you sow it, you reap from it. Oh, I got a word for somebody if you'll hear it. What you got left is not bread, it's seed. You don't eat seed, you sow seed and let the produce of the seed feed you. And so she sowed it in obedience. She went in there, made that bread, came back out to the city gate, shut down anything that was trying to bubble up. I don't believe I'm walking back ahead of this man. None of that going on. She just going out there saying, yes, sir, here you are. And then she gets back home and she looks in the cupboard and flour is overflowing. And she looks in the vessel and oil is overflowing. If you take care of God's business, he said, I will take care of you. This is no scheme. This isn't they trying to get over on me. No, this is God teaching you. I'm the source. So when I give it to you, the first thing you do is honor me. Somebody here needs to learn. You didn't grow up tithing. I grew up in a household of faith. They taught us as kids to tithe. You didn't grow up like that. If you heard anything about giving it at church, it was a negative thing in your household. Or you didn't go to church at all. And so now here you are in church and something in you is saying, as soon as they mention money, they're trying to get over and you better hold on to your money. They're setting you up to be cursed. Soon as you have the opportunity, say, Lord, I'm giving this to you because I'm believing you. Somebody's got to learn when I give God what I have and I sow it into the kingdom, he's the God of the harvest and he will produce not just more of it. Sometimes he'll give you 30. Sometimes he'll give you 60. Sometimes he'll give you 100-fold return. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I've had God take the little I had and stretch it in incredible ways. I've had God take care of needs. Have God tell other people to bless me and he'll do the same for you. 1989, I was here in California. You heard me tell the story earlier in the series. $2,000 a month was all they could give me when I first got here to little church. $9.95 was the rent. And so I got $1,005 left for the whole month. $200 of that is my tithe. Because I'm not going to eat my seed. I need more than $1,005. I got kids 5 and 3. I got a car that has a $320 car note on it. I got to pay everything. Groceries, food, insurances. We had no health coverage. None of that. I'll never forget one morning, my baby's son, Aaron, was sick. We didn't know what was going on. And we said, God, we don't have health insurance. You got to do something. We laid hands on him and prayed. And I'll never forget, my wife and I said, okay, if we have to go to emergency, that's going to have to come out of money we don't have. But I remembered, God, we're in California because you sent us. We're not here because we decided we wanted to be in California. You sent us. And you know, I had good coverage in Philadelphia. And now you sent me out here, these folk who don't have any coverage for me. And my son is sick. And Lord, tell us, Lord, we're supposed to go to the hospital. I guess you're going to give us supernaturally to provide there. We didn't know. So we just prayed over him and he fell off to sleep. We checked on him. His vitals were good. So, okay. Doesn't seem like an emergency. We went to bed. We woke up the next morning, went in his room to see, Lord, I hope he's alive. And he opened his eyes. He said, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. We knew. My son doesn't like eating. He eats when he just has to. I've never figured that out. He woke up, said he was hungry. His mother jumped up and got him his breakfast, and that boy ate, and it was all good. Whatever was going on, God knew. We couldn't afford it. He was going to have to take care of it. If we had had to go to emergency, God was going to have to figure that out. Y'all stop trying to answer questions that are over your pay grade. We don't know what God's going to do or how he's going to do it. You just walk by faith.
Do you remember when you were a child and you were hungry? Was there any doubt your mother or father would feed you? That's the kind of faith God wants from you today. As Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." How's your faith today? Has fear crept into any area of your life? If so, the Destined for Victory Ministry team would like to help. Visit PastorPaul.net and use the contact feature to share your prayer request with us so that we can join you in prayer. When you stop by, remember to sign up for Pastor Paul's free monthly letter of encouragement. Again, the web address is PastorPaul.net. Well, we have a great resource to share with you today, a booklet from Pastor Paul Shepherd called Are All Marriages Really Made in Heaven? In this important booklet, Pastor explores three common ways people find a marriage partner, including a surprising method that is now the most popular in the world. But is one method better than the rest? Do some people need a spouse in order to be happy? Answers come your way in this latest booklet from Pastor Paul. That's Are All Marriages Really Made in Heaven? And it's our thank you gift today by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500. That's 855-339-5500. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
There are some things in all of our lives God's called us to do, and some of us need to realize if there is a God thing that you're called to do, and all of us have some God things we're called to do, you can't do it without knowing God is with you. If it happens, God will have to do it.
And that's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Show Me Your Glory. But until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.